Hi, welcome to EcoTalks. I'm your host, Cassandra, and today we have Colton Galambos talking to us about doll sheep. So, why don't you introduce yourself, Colton?
Hi, I'm Colton Galambos. I am currently a student at Montana State University, and today I'm going to be talking about doll sheep.
Yeah, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
First topic, I know you wanted to cover doll sheep, but why don't you just tell us a little bit about them, form and function, per se?
So doll sheep are, first off, they're a mammalian species. They're a cursorial animal, which means they are primarily runners. And they are also unguligrade, which is like a foot posture. So they basically, with that, they stand on their tops of their toes.
Yep.
And then also within their legs, they have what's known as a cannon bone, which is fused carpals and metacarpals. They're also herbivores, which a good part about being a herbivore is it's a low energy requirement to get food. You don't have to chase down like a prey as like a carnivore would. And to help in their herbivory, they have a large masseter muscle, which helps them for chewing and grinding the plant material.
Masseter being in the jaws, am I correct?
Yep, okay. Exactly. And then they also have selenodont teeth, which help with that grinding motion. And then they also have a four-chamber stomach, which is known as having a ruminant stomach.
Right, so obviously with digestion and food consumption and everything, there's got to be some way for them to thermoregulate and keep warm. I'm assuming these are high altitude sheep as well.
Yeah, they primarily live at higher elevations in a pretty cold climate in the northwestern part of North America. And so with that being said, they are endotherms. And endotherms are basically a mammal that, or an organism that regulates their body heat through metabolic processes. And they also, another adaptation that they have for thermoregulation is they have hollow hairs that help to trap air. And this provides better insulation during the colder months of the year. And then they also, in the spring, they shed off these winter coats to make themselves cooler during the hotter summer months. Another thing that they do to help regulate their body temperature is they migrate from the higher elevations to the lower elevations. So in the summer and fall, they'll be up at higher elevations, and this keeps them out of the reach of predators better, as well as it's kind of the terrain that they're more accustomed to. And then when the harsh winter starts to roll in, they move down to the lower elevations where they can better hide from the weather, I guess, is the best way to put it.
Right. So is that just a mass migration or like herd dependent?
It's kind of a smaller scale migration. It's not like a massive migration like we'd see in the African mammals that migrate long distances, or in like caribou that we'd see. It's more on like a local scale where they just move from the higher climates the higher elevations to the lower elevations.
Right. So I'm assuming they tend to stay in these smaller social groups. What does that mean for reproduction?
So for reproduction, they reproduce about mid-November to mid-December, with the peak of the reproductive action being right about there in the middle, about the change of between November and December. And then this is like commonly referred to as the rut. And the rut is basically where the males engage in courtship type activities with the females, but they also, the males get aggressive towards each other, and I'll talk more about that later. And then the ewes are monoestrous, which means that they reproduce only one time a year, and they go into their estrous cycle once a year. And then ewes are also sexually mature as yearlings, but the rams, on the other hand, they have very low sperm counts as yearlings, and they typically wait until they are older and more mature to really participate in the rutting action. And then for like young development, usually the gestation period for doll sheep is about 171 days.
So they reproduce annually.
Yep.
So, okay. And you said the ewes tend to get a little aggressive with each other, a little catty?
I think the ewes can get a little catty with each other, but I think it's more the rams who really get aggressive with each other.
Right. So obviously, like other ungulates and other sheep and herd animals, they have a complex social structure. Am I correct?
Yeah, that is true. So in the spring and summer months, the males and the females segregate spatially from one another, with the females tending to stay high. The females and the young tend to stay high, where they're at less of a risk of predation, as to where the males prefer to stay down at the lower elevations where there is higher risk of predation. But with that being said, the males are at a lot lower risk of being predated on, because they are tougher, I guess, and can better fend off predators. And then they tend to congregate back together during the breeding season, for obvious reasons. And then before the breeding season, the bachelor herds, they typically create like a hierarchy within themselves. And this is usually done through like low intensity, displays of dominance, such as like foreleg kicking and then horn displays. And even the more mature, or the more dominant males will even mount the less dominant males. And then during the rut, the males get really mean to each other and aggressive towards each other. This is where the real hierarchy is established on who actually gets to breed. And they usually do this through really hard kicks to each other, as well as the typical hard clashing together of the horns that we commonly see in a lot of wildlife documentaries. It's pretty brutal to watch, actually. It's amazing that the animals can go through it and not experience a lot of broken bones and stuff, but they just adapted to it. And the rut also takes a very harsh toll on the rams, because during this time, a lot of their energy reserves get depleted. And the successful rams usually get to breed multiple females. And then they also live in groups. And an advantage of living in a group is you have more eyes to watch for the predators. Also, with that, your risk of actually getting predated on as an individual goes down if you're in a group with multiple individuals. And the disadvantage of that is, being in a group, you are also more susceptible to being seen by the predators.
Right. So a little bit touching on that, living in a group causes them to be more susceptible and less susceptible to predators at the same time. Mm-hmm. What does that entail for their communication? Do they have a way to communicate if they see a predator, or avoid a predator in this case?
Yeah, I mean, obviously a visual cue of if they see a predator, obviously they're going to run, and that usually will signify to the group that they got to get out of there. But as far as communication, a lot of the big communications with doll sheep, usually happens through scent, and a big one for that's pheromones. During the breeding season, the females release pheromones that let the males know that they are ready to copulate. And another big communication tool that sheep use is like a visual display. So like during the breeding season, males will display their fitness to breed and to establish dominance between other males by posturing. As well as another breeding season communication technique that they use is a tactile one. The females will actually rub or butt up to a male to show that she is ready to copulate, and she's susceptible to that. And then also, their bighorn sheep aren't a big communicator as far as like auditory signals as we might see in like elk. But auditory signal that bighorn sheep do know is, or excuse me, not bighorn sheep, doll sheep do know is the sound of wolves. A wolf owl will alert a bighorn sheep herd to doll sheep to wolves in the area, and that'll let them know, and they'll get out of there.
Right. So, obviously, wolves are a major predator. What are some other threats to the species as a whole?
So I would say the biggest threat to the species as a whole that we are seeing currently is diseases being transferred from domestic sheep and goats. And a big one with that is pneumonia is a big one that has really impacted sheep herds, not just in the territory of the doll sheep, but also across the North American continent.
So like bighorn sheep as well.
Yep, bighorn sheep as well. So.
All right. Well, I think that is all the time we have for today. Thank you for educating me.
Thanks for having me on, Cassandra.
Yeah, see you next time.